Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Handy, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and T. Quiller, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
So welcome to episode 160 of...
The Inexplicable Dumb Show.
I'm T. Quillen.
I'm John Malden.
And we're going to talk to a new friend this week.
Yeah.
From back in the old Humana
days. A new friend from back in
back the Humana days. Back in the old Humana days from this past year. No, it's, Christopher Diaz got a new show that he's already got several tour dates for.
Yeah.
And
it's
stuff.
Three productions he's talking about.
And it sounds like it's a very diverse play.
In a lot of ways, yes. Subject matter and...
Everything.
Everything,
yeah. So let's just let Chris tell us about it.
Sounds good.
Want to stay current with the Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
Hey, Putz. Get off your fat tookus and do something. I'm tired of yous laying around complaining about this and that. Forget about it. It's all you say. You bum.
Shut up already, Frank. Oh, God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I'm sorry. He gets wound up around the first of the month. You know, when you're supposed to pay the rent.
Now, give Frank a big tip. Hear about auditions, booking gigs, and other theater work around the South. Next.
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
We have Christopher Diaz on the phone.
Oh, wow.
You remember Chris, right?
Yeah,
he was on...
Not a good hangman player,
no,
from what I remember.
No, not from... I mean, he's had better days, I think. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. As long as young David, the intern, is not there to ruin my life as hangman.
No, your arch nemesis is not in the room.
Him and his Oxford English Dictionary. So you have a new play. Tell us about it.
I do. It's called The Elaborate Entrance of Chad Deity. And I'm actually in an airport in Minnesota heading to Chicago where we're in the middle of rehearsals for the world premiere of that. It's going to also later on be at Interact in Philly starting in October and then Mixed Blood in Minneapolis. Starting in April, three different productions of it. But it's a play about professional wrestling and geopolitics. That's sort of how we're marketing it all around.
That sounds like they go hand in hand.
Yeah, pretty much the same.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
same
thing. So maybe it's about a presidential election. Is that what I'm hearing?
Or healthcare reform.
Or
It's all encompassing.
It is, doesn't it? Well, so okay. Wow. Where did your inspiration come from to mix that eclectic bit of stuff together?
Yeah. My plays, I guess, my work, most of my work, although the thing you guys saw out at Humana was very silly as well. But in general, I'm sort of, I guess, interested in big issues and whatever that means, race, ethnicity, politics, identity, junk like that. And, but I also grew up as a professional wrestling fan, a long time professional wrestling fan. I had a friend in college who was like, oh, you're a smart guy. How can you watch that stuff? And, I think it's actually a pretty valid question. It's a really messy art form in terms of, stereotypes and sexism and racism and all that kind of stuff mixed in. So I guess it was just a matter of trying to figure out my own relationship to it and play around with it. It's also really fun to play with. So, started out with, I guess, with that idea and it turned into something, I guess.
Okay. Well, what were auditions like? I just have to.
Oh, no, I can just see on the form. Can you do a flying half Nelson or
right.
whatever?
It's funny. You know, the casting process has been quite a challenge. One of the guys, we've been workshopping it in Chicago for a while, and one of the actors, Desmond Borges, is a friend of mine. And, he's playing the lead, and we knew, and there's also a lot of text in it. It's very monologue heavy. And, we knew that he was able to handle all that. We knew he'd probably eventually be able to handle the physical stuff, but he's been basically on a workout plan since February to get himself completely in shape for it.
Wow.
We've been working with these guys who are pretty darn huge. Their muscles are huge, their shoulders and their backs. It wasn't so much in the rehearsal process, in the audition process, that we had to see that they could wrestle. We were sort of interested in their ability to handle the tech, sort of first and foremost, but they have to have a little athleticism somewhere mixed in. There's one actor, Christian Licky, who is playing three different parts. He's non-speaking roles, but those are the wrestling parts. And he actually works for World Wrestling Entertainment right now.
Wow.
He's not a wrestler, but he works with wrestlers. He's huge.
He's not a wrestler, but he plays one on TV.
Just about, yeah. He absolutely could. And the first day of rehearsals was pretty much Christian pushing the guys and having them fall on their backs repeatedly. And now every day rehearsal starts with them doing about half an hour of squats.
Wow.
So it's that kind of show.
Wow. Wow.
And I sit back and watch. They do squats and pull-ups, and I sort of sit and watch.
With a coffee and a cigarette and Danish.
Exactly.
No, that's not what I meant.
That's not the kind of pull-ups I was looking for.
No, do it again.
I don't think you really believe that fall.
So the let's talk about geopolitics for a little bit. Exactly. Without obviously giving the show away, how does that play into it? I mean, you know, you've got on one hand, exactly like you said, you've got, you know, the World Wrestling. It's not the Federation anymore.
No,
what do they call them?
Entertainment.
Thank you. Entertainment. World Wrestling Entertainment now. On one hand, that is, one could say, pure showmanship. And then, well, I guess you could say the same thing about geopolitics too, really, I guess. But what is...
One's better than the other,
that's
I can
true.
Say that.
Yeah. One is definitely more entertaining. How do you blend those two together in this show?
Yeah, well, the show itself is about... The main character is... His real name is Macedonio Guerra. His wrestling character is the Mace, and he's sort of the generic bad guy whose job it is to make everybody else look better than they are. And he's an American guy. He's from the Bronx, New York. He's Puerto Rican. And he is sort of displeased with the job that he has, sort of the world in which he works. And the world champion is the how do you say it, titular? That doesn't sound right. The title character, Chad Beatty, who is the titular, just sounds all kinds of wrong.
It does.
That's version two. That's the Chad Didi's next saga there, I guess.
Right, exactly.
The titular adventure of Chad Didi.
Right.
Yeah. So he is, he's an African-American world champion who enters the ring throwing money around and sort of being very conspicuous consumption kind of feel. And he's disheartened but sort of content with his world. And while he's out in New York one day, he meets a young Indian guy from Brooklyn, New York, and who is just super charismatic and unlike anything that he's ever seen before. And Mace gets the idea that this guy could be the next great professional wrestler. And so he brings him into the company, and they're coming up with ideas for how they're going to take advantage of this guy who's so charismatic and hip-hop and urban. And the boss decides that the two of them are going to be terrorists.
I'm sorry.
That's going to be there.
Say that last part. Say that last part again. They're going to do what?
The boss decides that the two guys are the characters they're going to play are going to be terrorists.
Oh good.
Yeah. Great.
Good.
And the biggest broadest stereotypes of terrorists that you could possibly find. So it goes from there, and the rest of the play is pretty much about these two guys who have sort of strong political feelings, but aren't, you know, political activists or anything, trying to deal with what's been thrust upon them and make the best out of it for their jobs, I guess.
So it does get serious then.
It stays light, but there's definitely serious moments, and it's a heavy monologue form, and it's pretty much, we talk about it being as putting the subtext right on the surface in a lot of cases. So there's a lot of talk about the United States of America and media and celebrity and sort of how that all ties in again with race and ethnicity and identity and stereotypes and, you know, what people's perceptions are of different ethnic groups and people of color in general.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, you've got the production Chicago and then two more productions. So the show is, yeah, it's got some legs to it. What's the biggest challenge for you? I guess particularly with this upcoming production, is it casting or is there the athletic ability or what has been the biggest challenge for you in getting the show ready?
I always thought the biggest challenge would be that there's this sort of angry political content and even barely below that, this sort of being angry at the world of theater content. But nobody seems to have a problem with any of that. But,
we all have that,
everybody,
though.
Everybody's angry at the world of theater, apparently.
Right.
The biggest problems so far really have been casting, finding guys who are able to handle the language, also able to do the wrestling moves. And also they have to be really specific, in terms of ethnicity. So, you know, you have to find the right guys who have the right look and can do all the different aspects of the piece. It's very, very difficult to cast. We've been to the Chicago production. We finalized our casting about 2 weeks before we started. The Philadelphia production, we've just finalized our casting now. Minneapolis, we're still tracking it down. So it's really a trick of figuring out, I get exactly the right people into the room, and people who we just think eventually will be able to do the wrestling stuff. We're not even worrying so much about that because the pool's already pretty limited when we get to that point.
Okay, now, is the set, you don't have to give a whole lot away here, but I just, you can nod your head. It's an audio podcast here. is the set like a wrestling ring or is it, what's your setting of the show?
Yeah, I haven't seen Philly and Minneapolis yet, but it's Chicago. While I've been away, they've built a wrestling ring. It's just like a real live wrestling ring where they bought ropes from whoever makes the ropes for the World Wrestling Entertainment. Nice. There's a spring underneath the ring. I won't not to give away too many secrets, but there's a spring down there, which makes everything bounce a little higher and bounce a little louder.
Nice.
And there's, in the Chicago production, we've got two big video screens up on top of the stage, and we're going to be doing some pre-recorded video and some live video, and the guys are doing interviews where they're talking about how big and bad they are.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it takes...
That's fun.
Some of the action takes place in a ring, some of it takes place outside, takes place in street corners in Brooklyn, New York, takes place in an office, but we're working in and around this giant wrestling ring.
That's cool. That's
surrounded
cool.
surrounded by images of male virility.
Wow,
so there's bombs and explosions and all kinds of phallic symbols. Because I didn't know until I got there. The set designer told me that I had written a play that was primarily about male virility, and he used a slightly different word that I know it's a podcast, but I'm not going to use either.
You gotta like that feeling when they look at you and say, "Hey, by the way, your play is about."
Your play, yeah, exactly. Your play is about certain parts of the male anatomy.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't really remember writing
it.
But...
Aren't they all?
Well, if you dig deep enough, I guess.
Yeah. No. Pardon the pun. So, well, then I guess that answers my next question, which was, "Is the cast all male?" I guess that answers that question. I mean,
the cast is all male. The rehearsal room is just about all male. We've got a female stage manager and a female dramaturg who are vitally important to the process because otherwise it would just turn into a bunch of, again, male anatomy jokes. And,
That's funny.
Which you pretty much knows already, but at least you have some women around to sort of give us a sense of propriety, I guess.
To make you feel guilty about doing it, right?
Right.
We still do it, but then we feel bad about it. We apologize for it eventually.
And then go to the bar and drink heavily to drown your sorrows. What's the give us the dates of the shows again, and tell us how people can get tickets.
Yeah, the dates of the show. We start in Chicago September. Performances start September 25th. With an October 5th opening, that's at Victory Gardens Theater, and you can go to victorygardens.org for tickets there. Interact starts, I don't have the dates in front of me, but it starts in October. Interacttheater.org, I believe, is the website there. And then Mixed Blood is mixedblood.com, not .org. And that is in Minnesota. That goes up in April. So I think the websites are the best way to go for tickets. I'm also doing some blogging about it at ChristopherDiaz.wordpress.com. Christopher spelled all crazy, K-R-I-S-T-O-F-F-E-R. May or may not be named after Chris Christopherson. I can't get any confirmation on that from my father. But we're putting, which would be a strange thing for a Puerto Rican guy from the Bronx, to, or from the New York City area to be named after Chris Christopherson. But, you know, he was big in the 70s, I guess.
Nice.
And, yeah, but we're doing over at the blog, we've got pictures, and we're putting up some videos of the rehearsal process. So lots of pictures of the muscly boys, basically, at the blog. So
Can't wait.
I know you guys are logging on right now.
Yeah, actually, I've got the computer on.
I've downloaded
now.
4 images already to my iPhone.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note,
before letting you go here. How was the after effect of Humana for you? As have you noticed any kind of bump, I guess, in your career?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's hard to say, but they're definitely, you know, when you're down there on the, I guess that's the big weekend when we were all down there, the industry weekend, you're just meeting so many literary managers and artistic directors and directors in general. So, lots of contact, lots of, being in touch with people, actually going out to coffee with someone that I met from Steppenwolf, in a few days when I'm back up in Chicago. And, you know, it's pretty great, let alone, the fact that, you know, you meet all these other writers, the other writers who, were in Brink in the anthology show we did have become really good friends. There are, I think, 3 of us are doing shows in Chicago at the same time. Peter Nachtrieb has a show. Deborah Zoloffer has a show in Chicago, so we get to do all those things all together. And Deborah Stein, who's one of the other writers, has let me sublet her house while she's been out of town, so in Minneapolis. So great, you know, personal and professional fallout from Humana. It's a pretty terrific place to be.
That's cool. That's awesome. Cool.
So we're going to see you again this year?
Of course. I don't know. I think it's hard to go down there and not have a show. I think you go from being a rock star to being, you know, sort of a faded rock star. but so I don't know if my ego can take it, but it's a good time for sure. It's a good time for sure.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Listen. Thanks for getting in touch with us, letting us know about the show,
and
keeping in touch with us. That's fantastic. Best of luck to you, and let us know how it goes. Check back in with us after you've had a couple of runs, and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks a lot, guys.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
So thanks to Christopher Diaz.
Yeah, the elaborate entrance of Chad Deity.
Yeah. It sounds like a real winner. I mean, it sounds like it's a... I just wish I could see it. I wish I could get up to Chicago and see it in time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, maybe you could.
Might be able to see it from here. You just never know.
Well, it's a world premiere. I think people should try to go out and see it in that area. I mean, it's what are those dates? September 25th through
November the 1st,
2009.
Yeah, and that's at the Victory Gardens.
Yeah,
in Chicago. And we didn't talk about this during the interview, but I mean, you know, in this economy, man, for them to be putting on new works and stuff like that, that's actually a big deal. You know,
especially with, like, what are we talking about? TV screens and
it's
all
a
the
multimedia type
stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely should get out and support it. Definitely should get out and support it. Because, you know, who knows how much longer we're going to have any of that stuff, you know, depending on how things go. Not that I'm being a downer.
Pass the razor blade.
I got a box of them over here if you want. Right next to my cyanide tablets.
Yeah. Oh, good. So we might have a show next week. I don't know. T's been downing pills here. So,
have you tried the pink ones?
No.
The purple ones are awesome, too. It's not today's purple pill, though. Anyway, so we'll see you next week for episode 161. Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.